Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream seven national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
Welcome back to the Bama Online Podcast. This one set for a Friday, May the 6th, 2022. Travis Ryer, Senior Analyst for BOL, joined on this Friday by Recruiting Analyst Hank South, veteran of the recruiting trail for us there at BOL. Hank, we're coming off of Cinco de Mayo. Not sure about yourself, but I got a little heavy into the sangria on Thursday night. So you might have to bear with me a little bit as I celebrated that 160th anniversary of the Mexican forces beating back the French forces back in 1862. How about that for a little history lesson to get you going on a Friday, Hank?
Oh yeah, I'm jealous. I was tempted to make a margarita, but I'm trying to get back on the workout kick. So I'm keeping trying to stay away from the sangria and margaritas for a little bit. But
yeah, they're not calorie friendly, are they? You
know, I think no, like 1 margarita is like 550 calories. It's like, my goodness, can't we have things to enjoy?
Somebody on the staff had to take one in the name of cultural diversity. Oh, yeah. And so I was more than willing to do that on Thursday night. But you also had some recruiting news, big recruiting news on the football front for us Thursday evening from the JUCO ranks. You had kind of alluded to, not kind of, you had spoken to the real possibility of perhaps Alabama looking to perhaps the transfer portal where the tight end position was concerned. Following the commitment, the decision by Tyler Harrell from Louisville, a wide receiver, to join Alabama. And it played out that way, but maybe a bit of a surprise exactly where Miles Kitzelman comes from.
Yeah, there's been several tight ends we've communicated with that have talked to Alabama, but nothing really ever transpired. There was a tight end at Cal that entered the NFL draft. He had an offer from Alabama earlier this year, an Indiana tight end. The Oklahoma State tight end, there was a bunch of guys they were talking to, you know, keeping up with, but, what it turned out to be was the JUCO transfer portal, in Miles Kitzelman. He plays at Hutchinson Community College in Kansas, big kid, 6'5", 250, doesn't have eye popping stats, but I think this was a case of where Alabama got out on the road during this eval period, as they always do. They see kids, up close and personal, and you know, get a feel for him. Obviously, they see some potential in Miles Kitzelman out of Hutchinson. His tape, you know, he's a really good blocker. He's pretty athletic looking kid. Again, he has that, you know, really good size that you could certainly find use for. And gave him an offer, and he has he didn't wait to make a commitment. He committed on Thursday evening. Still haven't spoken with him too much. You know, hopefully we'll have some more from him on, you know, what went into that decision-making process. But, yeah, you know, a tight end was a position of need. You know, we've seen a couple guys transfer out with Jaleel Billingsley and Caden Clark. You know, you really don't have a lot of depth at that position. So bringing in a late 2022 addition with some experience at the college level, albeit JUCO, but a guy that has a little bit more experience than your typical, you know, prep level prospect would, certainly, you know, there's an area of need for that.
Yeah. You look at where Miles comes from, it's the Jayhawk Conference, which when you talk about junior college football, there are basically three or four leagues around the country that stand out as Power Five-ish, if we were talking about junior college football. And that league is certainly among them. Obviously the Mississippi schools and their situation are right there at the top of the list as well. But yeah, it just feels like if you go out in the spring and you're doing your evaluations and you come across a guy that you would label as a take right now for, say, 2023, but he's an academic qualifier at the junior college level, which means he's immediately eligible wherever he wants to go. why not go ahead and add him to an area of need? And, you know, we know that, and you know this better than anybody, what Alabama's numbers are going to be like at tight end going into the summer months. And they look good on paper, but there's a lot of youth there, right? Just look at this most recent class, the 2022 group, heavy on tight ends, but not heavy on guys that have shown already to be able to handle the physicality more than anything that comes with the position. So in Kitzelman, you're getting a guy that has gone against some legit dudes at the junior college level. And you're right. You got to get into his tape a little bit. Good inline blocker, does some things off the ball. In terms of transitioning from the offense he's been in to Alabama's, looks very similar. They insert the tight end on run plays. They have some slice stuff they do with their tight ends. So he shouldn't have any problem from that standpoint. So when you look at it from the viewpoints that we're considering, it makes a lot of sense. And you talked about Alabama coaches being out on the road. What has the last couple of weeks produced? I guess not only in terms of, you know, 2023 recruiting, but it's become so much more about, or as much about, 2024, 2025, right? Kind of set the table for those classes.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, you know, this is the first time the coaching staffs have been able to do this since 2019. You know, they cut it off short in 2020. Obviously, it was still a dead period this time last year. So they haven't had a chance to do in-person evals out on the road, at least in this part of the calendar, since 2019. So it's definitely, you know, kind of a chance to see, like you said, those underclassmen, see the kids coming up. You know, you kind of have a pretty good idea of what 2023 looks like. You're still seeing those guys. We're still seeing 2023 offers go out, and we're going to see more go out. We're seeing camp invites. Obviously kids are getting offers. Some of those are offers you need to come to camp for. Some of those are legit offers. So it's a little bit of mixture of everything, but yeah, just to get that FaceTime back in the schools, you know, to get those live evals is very critical, in terms of, you know, putting that board together and kind of seeing where you, what direction you're going to go to entering the summer months as things become more solidified. So yeah, we've seen the coaching staff, all over the country, you know, coast to coast. A lot of the guys are getting settled into their new recruiting areas. You know, we've seen Holman Wiggins, the wide receivers coach, kind of take over a little bit in Texas, along with Coleman Hutzler, the outside linebackers coach. We've seen Joe Cox, the new tight ends and special teams coach, out in the Carolinas and Georgia. Obviously, you know, T-Rob and Robert Gillespie are handling things in Florida. A lot of in-state recruiting, obviously, with the strength of the class with Charles Kelly, Freddie Roach, and then, you know, out on the West Coast, too. So we're really seeing Bama spread across the country, seeing a lot of new offers go out, like I said. And I think you'll see a lot of kids, you know, with Bama showing interest, set up visits for this summer, whether it be for camp, whether it be for official visits, or just getting out to campus to, you know, see how things are.
You got this week going with a bang when you put in a crystal ball for four-star quarterback prospect Eli Holstein to Alabama. I believe that was on Monday. What went into that call for you, Hank, and what level of confidence do you have in the union between the former A&M commit and Alabama coming to fruition?
It's kind of been a few weeks coming on that pick. I've been tempted to make it. I don't know really what I was waiting for. I guess I was just kind of, you know, taking my time with it because he didn't really seem to have a set decision timeline. But, you know, coming out of the weekend, I was kind of catching up and kind of reviewing everything with Eli Holstein. And, you know, obviously we've seen those three visits to Tuscaloosa right there. You can say, you know, following the visits, you could imagine Bama might have a slight edge just with that. But then I started kind of looking at, you know, how this eval period was going, learned that Bama hadn't been in to see, at least as of last week, hadn't been in to see Arch Manning. Not saying that Arch Manning is out of the equation, but, you know, it seems like things were just progressing a little bit more in Bama's favor for Eli Holstein with the visits. You know, Alabama is obviously very fond of him. They like him a lot, and for good reason. You know, we saw last weekend he set the quarterback Nike Spark record out in Las Vegas at the Elite 11 finals with some absurd absurd numbers, a low 4.640, a 38 inch vertical.
Wow.
Yeah, just really good testing numbers, and then threw the ball well as well. And then you couple that with his film. I mean, he's leading Zachary High School to a state championship. His dad had actually sent me a picture. It was the front page of the newspaper of him doing a goal line dive for the game winning touchdown in the state championship last year. So he's a physical kid. He's an athletic kid. He's got obviously that ideal frame at quarterback. He's, 6'4", 225, something like that. So big kid. We actually got a picture of him at A-Day with Nick Saban. And I mean, he and his dad are just giant people. So certainly has that big frame, has that athletic frame, that, that pocket presence for sure. I just felt like it was time to make a pick. I think things are trending a little bit more in favor of Texas and Georgia for Arch Manning. I think all along Bim has been extremely high on Eli Holsting as well as Arch Manning. I don't think it was a, let's wait on Arch before we decide on Eli. It's, Eli's a top target. So I went ahead and put in that pick, especially with him now backing off that commitment to Texas A&M and reopening things. We'll see how that goes. It was the confidence level of 7. I usually do 6. I don't really go for it too much, but I kind of went for it a little bit with 7.
Wow.
On Eli Holstein. Wild. I know, right?
Hank Wilden out here.
So we'll see what happens, but, I'd expect him back, on campus probably in June. He's already thrown for the staff. We saw that last summer when he got his offer. They know what they're getting in Eli Holstein, and I think he's going to end up in this class.
If he does end up in this class, is it a one quarterback class? Is there a possibility where they take another QB? What are you envisioning right now, understanding things can change?
Yeah, I think you kind of have to look at a two quarterback class. This is my opinion, just talking. And it's obviously not going to be a Eli Holstein and Arch Manning class. Those guys aren't going to end up at the same school.
Right.
But maybe a situation where, you see a kid this fall that you like, maybe an in-state kid that you like, that you maybe it'd be a developmental type guy. You look back at the 2017 class, you took Tua, then Mac Jones, you gave him a few years to put it all together, and we saw how that worked out for him. So maybe it's a situation like that, but I could certainly see Bama trying to take a two quarterback class, because after this upcoming season, you're going to see Bryce go to the NFL. You're going to be left with assuming that you get your 2023 guy, three quarter scholarship quarterbacks, which you probably sit good situation there, but you obviously want to have a little bit more depth than that. So I could see a situation where they try to get another one maybe later in the cycle.
Speaking of the potential for another one, what is the likelihood, in your opinion, at this point, that Alabama is a strong consideration for Jordan Addison, the Pitt transfer who has entered the portal, the 2021 Biletnikoff Award winner, made news earlier in the week when he was spotted working out with Alabama quarterback Bryce Young? He just had the Heisman Trophy winner throwing some passes to the Biletnikoff Award winner. No big deal, right?
But right.
I know you've posted about this and given us some nuggets of information there at the roundtable, the premium message board at BamaOnline.com. But as we head into this weekend, anything new there that you're picking up on with Jordan Addison?
There's really not. And it's a very intriguing situation we're following for sure. I checked in on him earlier this week and was told, in quote, anything is possible. So obviously leaves the door open right there. But USC has a strong lead. And that was one source's opinion with the situation. And I lean towards that. And, you go back to that initial report last week where, he was going to enter the transfer portal. He was going to go to USC. There's a big NIL deal for him. And then things kind of blew up. We saw the Pat Narduzzi, Lincoln Riley heated exchange, apparently. And in my speculative opinion, and I'm not saying this by fact or anything, I feel like this could be a situation where, Lincoln Riley wants to take some heat off him and not make it look like it was going to happen immediately.
Right.
And maybe told Jordan Addison, hey, wait things out, maybe wait a little bit and then head over here. And I know it looks good with Bryce Young throwing to him out in California. But what I wrote on the board is, hey, USC is also in California. Maybe if Bryce Young was throwing to him in Tuscaloosa.
That's what the C is in USC. Hey,
right. Boy. So I don't want to, Bama fans are excited about the possibility, and hey, maybe I would say crazier things have happened, but that would be pretty crazy to add the Biletnikoff winner to a class that you just added Jermaine Burton and Tyler Harrell to as well, along with that wide receivers class. But I just don't see it happening right now. And, you know, we'll see. I think USC is going to end up adding him at some point in the near future. But, you know, if he takes visits, you know, I would think Bama will be in line to get one. But, you know, I still think the Trojans have the edge.
Yeah, it almost feel like the Senior Bowl at Alabama at wide receiver. Right. If you end up with Jordan Addison to go along with Tyler Harrell and Jermaine Burton, you know, you could have like the South team at the Senior Bowl with that group right there. I guess Jordan might be on the North, but yeah, a big stretch coming up. Feels a little bit right now, Hank, like the calm before the storm. Although, as you've kept us up to speed there at BOL, Alabama football coaches out on the road in the evaluation period. But man, when you think about June and you get the summer enrollees on campus and the returning roster back, you'd go right into camps and I guess official visits almost intertwined there as you get into the month of June. I know you've updated us on what looks to be a still forming and significant recruiting weekend there. I guess it's the second Saturday or so, second weekend of June looks to be really big.
Yeah. And almost official, you know, since they started doing official visits in the spring a few years back, the month of June has kind of become more covering official visits than it has camps. And obviously, you know, we do both, but that's kind of produced the more of the news in recent years, with kids getting their officials in the summer months. And yeah, you know, we've already seen kids set up almost every weekend of June that there's official visitors on campus, but that 10th to 12th looks like it's setting up to maybe be the big one. You know, we've seen several offensive linemen, big offensive line targets, set up their official visits, whether it be Elias Salinen, the four-star tackle originally from Finland. Now he's in Connecticut, but big target. He's been to Tuscaloosa a few times. His name Bama is leader in the past. Caden Proctor, who's casually the number one offensive tackle in the country, he set up for an official visit that weekend out from Des Moines, Iowa. So, you know, big time target there. Bama's going against Iowa, Oregon, those schools up there for him. And then Will Conformby, the local offensive lineman, has been a big target from Northridge High School. He's set to be in town that weekend as well. Then, you know, five-star linebacker Anthony Hill, four-star linebacker overall Rule Guir. And I bet you we add a couple more names to that list. We've seen during the summer those big weekends usually, you know, has six or seven guys, it seems like. And I know Bama likes to get these kids on campus, you know, certainly when they can spend a lot of extended one-on-one time. You know, those official visits during game weekends never really give the coaching staff a ton of time to really spend with them, with game prep and all that. And, you know, we see big targets take official visits in December to kind of bypass that. So these summer ones are, you know, almost as important as those December ones where you know, you can really get some FaceTime with those kids, with Nick Saban, with the staff, and kind of show them everything they have to offer. So that'll be a big weekend. Other weekends, we saw Brandon Ennis, the five-star receiver from South Florida, set up his for the first weekend of June. Then five-star safety Caleb Downs, he's set for June 17th through 19th. And, you know, we're probably going to add another half a dozen or more kids to these lists before it's all said and done.
Wow. Definitely going to pick up in terms of the month of June. And really, you still got some basketball roster things to address for Nate Oates' club. And most recently, I know you've kept us up to speed on Jared Lucas, the guard transfer from Oregon State. He had an interesting update for us, I guess, at his Twitter account here in the last 24 hours or so. Sounds like a decision from Lucas is imminent.
Yeah, he announced earlier this week he's going to make a decision this weekend. So I guess anytime from now till Sunday, we could see a decision from Jared Lucas, the Oregon State transfer. Really interesting kid. You know, he started every game at Oregon State, helped them on their Elite Eight run year before last. You know, really, really solid scorer. I think I read he has the all-time Southern California high school scoring leader record. Wow. So certainly a kid that can score the ball. And it's down to, from what we're told, Alabama and Nevada. People have done some Instagram stalking on him. Apparently he's following an apartment complex in Reno, I guess. You're familiar with Nevada. Yeah.
Yeah, it could be my daughter's. There's a hellacious, I can't tell you this. There's a brand new apartment complex that she's in that is literally right across the street from the Lawler Event Center, which is the arena there at the University of Nevada. So
Yeah. She could be our insider. We need
She is home right now, but I'll hurry up and get her back out there.
Right.
And get boots on the ground for us. Right. But yeah, Steve Alford, the head coach at Nevada, and the Wolfpack needs a lot of help. And here's the thing about Nevada men's basketball and even the women's program too. Very passionate fan base. They're into it. So I know you look at it and you go, wow, Power Five, Alabama versus a Mountain West program that struggled a year ago in Nevada. Eric Musselman had been there and done a great job before heading off to Arkansas. But yeah, it'll be interesting with Lucas. And man, it just seems like names continue to pop up just in the last day or so. Yeah. I know Jeff Goodman of Stadium.com reported that Matthew Mayer, the wing from Baylor, who has entered the portal and is looking at the NBA draft as well, says he's been contacted or he's heard from Alabama. So, and it just seems like, Hank, every day new candidates come up on the radar.
Yeah, you kind of have to just take it each day, see what comes. You know, some kids pop up on visits and end up in the class. And, you know, some Bama fans have been discouraged because, you know, they saw Jalen Bridges go to Baylor. They saw some other kids, you know, drop Bama or go elsewhere. And it's like, well, you kind of look at the situation. Bama's bringing in a top five class. They have Sears coming in from the transfer portal at Ohio. You have Quinterly coming back. That's as good as any transfer portal win. You could hope for at that position. And then you got two spots left. And so, you know, we'll see what happens with Jared Lucas. I know there's some buzz on Twitter about Nevada being the potential landing spot. But he did take his official visit to Alabama last week. And they're, you know, assuming, you know, they're in the top two with him. You know, they're right there. Maybe, you know, they could work that out. I've been told, you know, Emmanuel Acott, who's a big from Boise State, that's also a guy like Mayer that's entered into the NBA draft but still testing the transfer portal waters. He's a guy that Bama has interest in. He was originally a five-star signee out of Arizona. He transferred to Boise State, and now he'd be transferring again as a graduate transfer if he doesn't stay in the NBA draft. We'll see what they do with these last two spots. But regardless of whatever happens, you know, it's kind of wild to think with Quinterly coming back, they have four McDonald's All-Americans that'll be on the roster next year with Quinterly, Namari Burnett, who's coming back from injury, and then Brandon Miller and Baylor on my mind. Jaden Bradley coming in. Just really, really talented roster. And then obviously Sears, to add that veteran presence as well. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what they do. I don't think they're going to mess up with these last two spots. They're going to have a really stout roster next fall.
Yeah, and the transfer portal is dominated to the point here in the last few years where we tend to forget that staffs are still out recruiting five-star high school talent. Jacoby Walter, it looks like, from the Alabama perspective, 6'5 shooting guard from McKinney, Texas, very much in play for the Crimson Tide. So we got to keep those folks in mind as well. The portal, though, is just taking over, and especially in college basketball. So, well, Hank, I think that's all I've got for you on this Friday edition of the Bama Online Podcast. Hey, I hope you have a great Mother's Day. We got that coming up on Sunday. Hope everybody takes time, and hopefully you're able to spend that time with your mom and the mother of your kids. Big weekend coming up.
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks for having me, and same to you. Hope you all enjoy it.
All right. For Hank Sal, Travis Ryer, thanking you once again for joining us here on the Bama Online Podcast. If you haven't already, how about a subscription to the podcast? Easy as a click or two. And if you'd leave us a rating and a review, we would greatly appreciate that as well. Be sure to hang out with us on the Roundtable, the premium message board of choice for Alabama fans around the globe. Big weekend of Alabama sports coming up. You got Alabama, Missouri softball, important series for Patrick Murphy's club as they look to perhaps catch Arkansas atop the SEC standings, if not secure the second spot in the SEC and perhaps a top eight national overall seed. And Alabama baseball, critical, pivotal series at the Joe with LSU in town for three games. So a lot to talk about, a lot to get into right there with us at BamaOnline.com. Until next time, so long, everybody.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.